12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 19. I am Wes Otis, and I have a wonderful player with me. Wonderful player, introduce yourself.
Where are they? Hey, y'all, I'm Mac, which you may know as Lenore Von Moray, a.k.a. Cass Richardson, a.k.a. The Vamp.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
This is a great place for a recap. In our last episode, we had the team escape Penelope, or not escape, but basically worked with Penelope with her anger issues and becoming a werewolf, then getting out and starting doing some studying, and then everyone realized that Evie was missing and not sure where she went to. Meanwhile, Evie found herself talking with Hathor, taking a walk, and then being deposited back into her house and confronted with Elizabeth and Sekhmet. This time, though, as you can tell, because we have one player, we are doing our one-on-one game with Mac to kind of delve deeper into Cass before we continue on with the rest of the story. And we're going to start with actually learning more about Cass's beginnings. Where's Cass from?
Cass is actually an LA native.
Which is rare, for those of you who don't know. That is a rare thing. Yes, there are people who are born here all the time, but it seems like there's so many people from out of state that that's the majority of the people that you meet. What kind of family does Cass have? Is it a big family, small family?
Cass comes from a relatively small family. She had pretty much her parents. She was an only child. Her parents worked real hard to be able to eke out a living in LA because it's so expensive. Even back in the day, I'm sure it was still not the cheapest thing. And they wanted to be able to provide as much as they could for Cass. But it also meant that Cass spent a lot of time alone as a child.
Did you go to school, any kind of acting school, or did you just start going to tryouts? How did you get into acting?
I think that the acting just sort of happened with Cass a little bit, in that it was an industry that was popular and people told her she should try for it. And I think there was a lot of like outside encouragement just based on their ability. I think they did drama classes and plays in high school and had a definite knack for it and was very much a teacher's pet as well. And so got pretty decent roles in all of the school plays.
Okay. We start with young Cass. You're probably, let's say you're a senior in high school, 17 years old. You've done your different drama classes and whatnot. I'm imagining that it's probably the late, because you're about the same age as Robbie, if maybe a year or two older would be my guess, you know. Late 20s, early 30s, correct?
Yeah, late 20s.
Late 20s, okay.
Because she is worried about sort of the 30-year-old cutoff in Hollywood.
Yeah, you get cut off at 30 and then you can come back in and be a mother at 50 or 45. You're 17 and it is the early 40s and the war has been going on for maybe 6 months, 8 months to a year. There's rationing and all of this other stuff. And they have theaters that play pretty much almost constantly for the people who are not directly involved in the war to just get away from it. You go to the movie theater one day and they're playing older films. What film do you think turns you on to horror?
I think that they are showing the classic Frankenstein.
Okay. So you show up to the movie theater and Frankenstein is playing. And you go in, you pay your 5 cents or however much it was back then. Sit down with your popcorn and start watching. The image starts to flicker on the screen. And I imagine you've probably been a big fan of films your entire life because you've grown up around the industry, even if you weren't directly involved. What kind of work do your parents do?
I think that her dad is a dentist, but her mother is slightly more related to the industry in that she's a teacher, teaches at one of the schools where a lot of like the Hollywood kids go.
Right. So she does the on-set teaching for kids who are that kind of thing, like
Shirley Temple,
or whatever, needed some kind of educator there on set to be able to do stuff with.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're watching this and I don't know, it just sparks something inside you. You see the madness of the doctor and you pick up on the tropes really fast. The doctor is the mad scientist and the monster is human in a way, gives off this different emotions.
Lots of pathos in that performance.
And even though he's dressed up like a monster, you could see the humanity behind it. Now, are you scared by this movie at all? Is it shocking?
I think that it's not so much shocking as it is, I think Cass is just engrossed. I think that she's too sucked in to really be scared.
Right. You're watching this whole film unfold. And I think I would imagine by the end, you're very interested in, are there any more films like this? That kind of thing.
Totally.
We're going to say that over the next couple of years, you get more and more into these films.
And probably the magazines and stuff that have been out too.
Right. And the comics and things like that. As the war is going on, you graduate and you get some parts in some different small plays around town. But you're just not cracking in as much as you want to. And around the end of the war, you are finally auditioning for the third alien girl in Look Out, They've Got Lasers. Now,
Yes, and.
I thought you'd like that one. You are in a line of other people that are about the same age as you. And you can't help notice that most of them are kind of carbon copies of each other. But you stand out. Explain how you are different from the typical person in this line, who is kind of the regular ingenue that you would see in the 1950s.
So Cass had a real love and fascination with Lucille Ball and did as much digging as she could on how she achieved her hair color. And so she has very brassy red locks that really don't change much over the years because she has modeled herself a little bit after Veronica Lake and continues even into the current day, you know, when our game is happening with this particular look. It's her signature.
Okay. The other thing that makes you different from the rest of the group is you're reading through these lines. It's not a lot. And you're practicing what you're saying and going through and being very deliberate about how this thing is going to work.
And she's got like a backstory in her mind for this character too, I'm sure. Like, she's done her homework.
Right. As you're sitting there looking at the script, kind of going over in your brain, muttering the lines, you hear a voice, a male voice, just a few feet away from you. And it's just fascinating. You're actually learning the lines for this.
I thought everybody did.
And you look up and you recognize Henri immediately, because he has just done his first big breakout film. and everybody is talking to him. He's in all the teen magazines because he's about your age. He's a little bit younger. So at this point, we're talking 22, 23. And he goes, no, look, he comes close to you and says, look at all, they're all just sitting there combing their hair. You're reading the script. They're going to try to flirt their way into the role.
Do people really do that?
All the time, unfortunately. I'm Henri. What's your name?
Oh, I know who you are. I'm Cass. Cassandra. Richardson. Sorry, I wasn't expecting to talk to a movie star today.
He blushes a little bit and he goes, if I'm being honest, it's kind of new for me, too. I wasn't expecting Big Arkansas to really take off the way that it did. But here we are. I mean, it's basically an Oklahoma ripoff, but you take the parts you can get, right?
Everybody borrows from everybody else, if I know anything about cinema.
Yeah, they really do. So I can tell because they're not really reading this that you're going for a smaller part.
How can you tell?
Well, like I said, they're all going to try to flirt their way into being a character and trying to get their foot in the door, but you're actually studying, so I'm figuring that it's probably a character role as opposed to like a leading role where you have to know a lot of the dialogue where you can't just flub your way through.
I mean, they always say there's no small parts, only small actors.
I hadn't actually heard that before. I kind of like that. What kind of actor would you like to be? You want to be a leading lady?
I don't know. I just want to work. I love this industry. I love movies. I just want to be a part of it.
I totally get that. I have enjoyed myself a lot being a part of it. And at this point, you start feeling eyes on you. Just a negative energy kind of falls upon you as you look over and you notice that the rest of the line of actors has noticed that you're having this conversation. And he goes, well, I should let you go. It was really nice talking with you. I think you stand out a lot, and hopefully that'll get you this part.
It was lovely to meet you, and thank you for talking to me.
I'm still getting used to the whole fame thing. If I'm being honest, I don't really know how to respond to when people are like, oh, I loved you and whatever, you know. I'm still kind of learning myself, so it's just nice to talk to somebody. Good luck. And he shakes your hand.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I shake his hand and give him a really nice smile.
Okay. So the day goes by and it takes a little while, like maybe an hour or two, for you to get into the rehearsal for the audition. And when you walk in the room, Henri is standing there next to the director. And he goes, oh, hi, welcome. This is Cass. I was telling you about her earlier. She wants to be a working actor. And the director goes, well, Cass, do you know the lines for the part?
I think Cass flushes for a second because she's so caught off guard. And then, you know, and is like almost crunching the script in her hands. Yes, yes, of course I do. Yes, absolutely.
Well, since you know the lines of the show, why don't you read opposite of Henri here and let's see what you got?
Okay.
Henri walks up and he goes, don't worry, this is my first producing job that I got into. And he winks at you. He looks at the line and he goes, well, she doesn't have a name in this. And the director goes, just say guard. And he goes, well, she really should have a name. And the producer goes, what name do you want your nameless guard to have? And he looks back at you and goes, what alien guard name do you have?
Zebop?
He laughs a little bit. He goes, perfect. Zebop, you need to find the intruders before they make their way to our hidden chamber. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, tell me. And he looks at the script. He goes, this is terrible. And the director goes, look, it's your first foot in the door. This stuff is gaining a lot of traction. And he goes, well, this isn't like real horror movies, like, you know, the old Universal stuff. And he looks back to you and goes, do you know what I mean, Cass? Like, remember before all of this when they had like Mad Scientist and Dracula and all that stuff?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've seen all of them.
You see, she knows all that stuff. That's what this should be, right? I don't know about this script. And the director goes, look, we can't call it Watch Out, They Have Lasers if they don't have lasers. And he goes, all right, fine. I'll read this. Z-Bop, go and find the intruders before they get to the secret chamber.
Yes, sir.
And he then turns to the director again. He goes, see, that's the best yes, sir, we've heard all day. And the director kind of rolls his eyes and goes, all right, you're in. You're guard number three. Henri goes, you mean Z-Bop. Fine, Z-Bop. Anyway, I want some lunch. So we're all done. Do you have an agent yet, kid?
No, not yet.
It's okay. You got time. Here's the number to HR. Call them. Give them this reference number and they'll get you all set up. Do you have any questions?
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. As he's walking out the door, the director goes, you're lucky. Obviously, Henri here has a soft spot for you. And he walks out. And Henri turns to you and goes, that's not true. I hate you. You're terrible.
Lenore just laughs.
Yes. You want to get lunch?
With you?
No, by yourself. I figured you'd enjoy some food by yourself. And I would ask you if you wanted to go by yourself to have lunch. Yes, with me.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to the commissary. It's got decent food and we can talk some more about this industry. He takes you through the back lot and it's pretty cool. If you've seen any of the movies where they have people kind of standing in costumes outside of smoking cigarettes and like they're half centaur, they're the back half. So they're like standing up and smoking.
Yeah.
And you see all this stuff going on. And you get in the commissary and you get some coffee and some food and whatever. And you sit down with Henri and he goes, so I'm going to be honest with you. This movie's going to be not good. There's no amount of producing that can save certain movies. But see, kids love this kind of stuff. And so they're going to be the demographic. Kids and teenagers. People without refined palates like ours.
I don't know if I'd say I have a refined palate. I'm having lunch with you, after all. And she kind of, like, pauses to see if, like, he's going to be okay with the fact that she's teasing him a little bit.
He gives out a chuckle. He goes, yeah, good. You're catching on. I mean, if we're going to be friends, you got to get over the whole he was in a big movie thing. And he gives you a side eye.
I just laugh again.
So, where are you from?
Here. Los Angeles?
I came here from Minnesota. So I was in the war for exactly, I don't know, maybe 6 hours. They discovered I had a condition with my heart. I wanted to help with the war effort and I signed up and I, for some reason in my physical, I just couldn't get through. I don't know, arrhythmia or something like that.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. And but wait, did you say you're from Minnesota?
Yeah.
With a name like Henri? Is that just Hollywood branding?
Well, my dad is French.
Oh.
And my mother is Cajun, which is basically French. They moved up to Minnesota for work. A lot of factory jobs and things like that going on. I grew up there. And you're not the first person to ask about the Henri thing, believe it or not. I guess being from Minnesota, people really think that your name is going to be like Mark or John or something like that. Mark, John, or Wes. So one of those simple, short names that are easy to say. Yeah, but I wasn't in the war. So when I came out here, I guess looking to help out any way that I could. I kind of got involved with some different organizations to help with the war effort. And then I did a play. We did Macbeth because everybody does Macbeth, I guess.
Oh, I know. I've been to Macbeth too, several times.
Yeah, it's just one of those that everybody thinks they should do a lot. And I got lucky. An agent saw me and started, you know, talking with me, and the rest kind of just happened. He is totally one of these people where things just happen.
Totally.
You meet those people who's like, I decided to start this job and they made me CEO after 6 months, that kind of bullshit. He goes, so you want to be a character actor, just an actor, not a lead?
I guess I haven't thought about it too hard. I just love acting. I just want to act. It doesn't really matter what in.
Well, now you're in your first film. Look out, they have lasers.
Thanks to you.
I will admit, I was a bit sneaky. I wanted to make sure that we had compelling people in our show, no matter how small the part was. And I have seen so many ingenues at this point that all look pretty much the same. They all want to be Lana Turner or something. It's super annoying sometimes when you're casting.
I want to be excited by the part if I can. I mean, I want to work, but I mean, so much of the ingenue role is, and, you know, swooning. And what fun is that when you're passed out half the time?
I mean, there are a lot of people, you know, especially in the silent days where it was just tie the woman to the tracks or have her hanging from a bridge or something. And that mentality has never gone away. You know, it's disappointing.
It's Hollywood.
So are you dating anyone? Is there a special person in your life?
No.
I'm not asking you out. Don't worry.
I mean, and not that I'd be offended if you did, but no, there's not.
Well, be careful. As you can imagine, if you haven't run into it already, there will be a lot of men who will be interested in taking you out on dates that you don't really want to go out on. And he kind of gives you a look of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. Believe me, I understand.
You guys have a really nice lunch and you kind of talk. And you talk about horror and you talk about that genre and how it's changing from Mad Men to space dramas, you know, to space kind of stuff. Now that the war is over, I don't know if at the time you would make the connection between the Soviets and aliens and all that stuff, but it is basically why the Cold War, everything about the Cold War kind of seeped into Hollywood in the 50s.
It really did.
And as you are getting to know him, you start production. Are you a smoker?
Probably.
Okay. It's been about 2 months, and you've hung out several times, and you've actually gotten a few other roles. He's been able to get you in a few different scenes, and you're out back of the studio, and you're smoking a cigarette. Henri comes out and says, so this is the last night I'm shooting for this film, and I know you've picked up some other work in other things. And he lights a cigarette, and he's very... seems apprehensive, and he goes, have you ever had a boyfriend?
Have you?
And he goes, yes.
Her breath catches, you know, and she's kind of holding in a big lung full of smoke, and then she lets it all out very slowly. Are you serious?
And he looks around, and it's just the two of you. He goes, I'm hoping that I've read you right and that you will be okay with it.
Yeah, I'd say, why wouldn't I be? But I understand that's what I'm trying to say is, I get it.
I kind of figured you did.
Is it obvious?
No, it's not obvious because we all mask, of course. But I just got a feeling after hanging out with you for the last couple of months. Usually, you know, you just get a feeling for these things. Anyway, I had a proposition for you.
I thought we just established that wasn't going to be an issue.
Let's face it, this industry, this country is not ready for us to be us in the public light.
Yeah, that's, I know.
Have you ever heard of the term beard?
beyond the physical facial hair construction.
So there's, it's kind of a slang where a gay man would have a woman that he would say, this is my wife or this is my girlfriend, but she would not be that. They would be friends who understood the situation and would play parts so that the public didn't have to know their personal business. And that's called a beard. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's smart.
Anyway, I'm about to release two more films that are these big prestige films. And there's a lot of pressure on me to have a girlfriend and to play a part. And I don't want to play that part. I would rather not pretend like I'm someone I'm not in my real life, but I have to.
Yeah, you wouldn't want someone like a Belle Bellington catching wind of this.
Oh, not after what she did to those other actors. I mean, that one woman killed herself after that. That was terrible. She's probably the top reason why I think it would be a good idea maybe for you and I, now that you're starting to feel more comfortable around me, you and I pretend like we're in a relationship.
It's a big ask.
I know it is. It'd put you front and center in the tabloids, but I like you. You're a good person, and I just, you know, kind of feel like a kinship with you, you know?
I feel the same way. I really do. If circumstances were different, I could see this being the real thing. But it might be fun to play at it.
Yeah. And I mean, hopefully it won't be forever. I mean, things are changing rapidly. You know, maybe we'll be able to be more honest with the public in the future.
I wouldn't hold out too much hope, but, you know, maybe this is safer for both of us.
Great. So my idea is we go to dinner together at a fancy restaurant and let the papers do the rest.
Okay. And she's actually going to extend a hand to him for like a handshake.
And he laughs. He goes, we're dating now. And he gives you a big hug and says, come on, handshake. Anyway, you should get in there. Scene's going to come up. And if you change your mind between now and then, just let me know.
Thank you for trusting me.
Thank you for being trustable. Is that a word? I don't think that's a word, but
I think it's trustworthy.
Trustworthy. Trustable is something. Not the right word, but it's...
If I'm going to have a boyfriend, he's got to be at least a little eloquent.
I mean, my name's Henri. I've been coasting on that for eloquence for a long time.
And it shows, buddy.
The two of you go in. A week passes and one of his big movies comes out. And it hits huge. He's all over the place. And he calls you up and says, all right, it's time to go have dinner in a very public place. Are you sure you're ready for this?
Let's do it.
Okay. So you two go to a really nice French restaurant, very popular. And he says, you know, you're eating there and all these people are like looking towards the table and everything else. He goes, well, since you gave me such a hard time about my name, I figured we'd eat French food. And he pours you some wine. I have a friend who is trying to produce it. Have you heard of television?
Is this a date or is this work?
It's kind of both.
Yeah, I've heard of television.
Sure. Anyway, it's this, I guess, smaller screen that they're going to put in all the houses or something. It's like small movie theaters in the house, or I don't know. Anyway.
It's a lot more than that, but never mind. Sorry, I love technology.
He goes, well, then you're the right person to talk to. He wants to produce a show where they show movies that have already been made. And I pitched him the idea of you being kind of a hostess, where you go on and you kind of talk about the movie, then you play the movie and you take a break in between. They have commercials, products they're trying to sell, and then I don't know. It sounds interesting, and it might be something that you might want to look into.
I mean, you know my rule. It's got to be working, and I don't really have anything on my plate right now.
Well, his name's Danny. He's got, he just bought this studio. It's called Cut'em Films. They're doing mostly sci-fi and horror, which I thought you would kind of be into. But he doesn't really have a direction for the show. It's kind of an open canvas thing. So maybe you could meet with him and figure out what you want to do. It's not high budget.
I mean, with a name like Cut'em Films, why would it be?
Very true, yeah. But it's a good jumping off point. And then I know that there are going to be films that come up that you can get into from there, you know?
I mean, it sounds interesting. And, you know, television, I think, has so much potential. Who wouldn't want to go to the movies in their own home?
Yeah, I know. I think it's going to be really, really cool. Okay, well, I'll give you his phone number and we can figure it out. And you guys proceed to eat the rest of the evening and, you know, ideas start popping in your head of what movies and all that good stuff. But you're very much still Cass at this point.
Yes.
The evening ends and you're about to head out the door. He goes, okay, so in this scene, we're going to be exiting the restaurant. There are a bunch of people outside that are going to take our pictures. And we are going to wave and smile. And I'm going to give you a kiss. And then we're going to jump in the car and drive away. Are you ready for it?
Action.
And you guys walk out into the light of flash bulbs going off all over the place. And I think that's where we're going to end this episode.
Perfection.
Yeah, I think that was pretty cool. Did you like your little backstory?
I love it. And I love that I have one now because I didn't until we started recording.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool too that we were able to work that out. So thank you to everybody for listening. We hope that you like this little view into Cass. Mac, where can we find you?
Everywhere. But mostly on the internet is at Strange Like That.
Awesome. And you can find me at Plate Mail Games. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories. This is at all the different social media places for both. If you want to help out the show, definitely follow us on Patreon, become a Patreon supporter. That helps a lot. Or give us a review on your favorite platform, or, you know, give us a shout out on social media. We also have a Discord, which you should join and say hello on. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much, Mac. That was a lot of fun. And we will talk to you later. Bye.
Ciao.